You ready for this? You ready to get down? We got a little Patreon bonus. Patreon bonus time. Who's ready? We're about to get real jiggy with it. What are we going to talk about today? So many things. I'm going to catch you up on the latest news from the conspiracy world. It's Friday in my world. Friday, the best day. Doesn't get any better. Trying to hype you guys up here. Let's do this. Talk about Kevin Spacey, Mickey Rooney, Andy Rooney. Same person? I don't know. Game of Thrones? Who's not talking about Game of Thrones? Britney Spears updates and porn stars. All right. Are you hyped up? I hope you're hyped up. Because we're about to get into this. This crazy world. This crazy conspiracy world. I want to thank you first off for being on the Patreon feed. This is a bonus episode. Not for the losers, not for those free feed parasite losers. Nobody likes them. I joke. No, but thank you, seriously. Thank you for being on the Patreon supporter team. As you know, I'm trying to coalesce and form the system that works for everybody. What's going to make you happy with your Patreon support level? What's going to make it worthwhile as an investment on my side? Because super long range game, I'd like to make this a permanent deal. And if I can get the level of support needed, I can get an editor, just a sound engineer maybe, because I'm a one-man show right now. I'm doing this all on my own, so sometimes I miss the mark a little bit with the sound levels and such. I've got okay software. I could use better software, but most of all, I could use time. Time is my friend here. That old Saturnian force of Kronos. I could use more time. But for me to make that happen, I've got to take time off my day job. It's the classic conundrum I've got here. I've sunk many years of education and monies into the college indoctrination system. So now I'm torn between worlds here. What do I do? Well, I try to work on this Patreon thing, and I try to make you happy. But you make me happy. You're on the team. Thank you very much. Now, let's just get into it, right? Kevin Spacey, you know who he is. He was in a bunch of movies. He was the guy in The Ref next to Dennis Leary. That was a great movie. Usual Suspects, classic Kevin Spacey. K-Pax, did you see K-Pax? He's the alien in K-Pax. Another great movie. He was in a lot of good movies, but turns out, as we could suspect, he's been alleged to be mishandling himself around young boys. These Hollywood types can't get enough. In fact, speaking of the casting couch idea, I just listened to Charlize Theron's testimony on the Howard Stern show. She was made the casting couch offer, and she said she refused and she walked away. She was a little confused at how, you know, she said, you know, I'm a little confused because I'm a pretty strong woman. Normally, when I get propositioned like that, I tell men where to stick it, but she was a little bit taken aback by it. Didn't really know how to react, but she just left the situation, which I think is a testimony to how this whole thing works with the high-up Hollywood insiders. They're dangling the big fame carrot. No pun intended there. I shouldn't be. I apologize. I'm not making light of this, but they dangle the carrot of fame and fortune and movie roles, to these people, you know, men, women, boys, girls, parents, maybe, parents of young celebrity stars. And it puts people in a precarious position because this is everything they've ever wanted and they're not quite sure how to act. So, curious tale she provided there on Howard Stern. Oh, and Kevin Spacey also had that very strange video on YouTube, Let Me Be Frank, where he talks to the camera and he tries to talk his way out of all this stuff, basically. Well, anyways, we're talking about him today because he is part of some murder scandal. Yes, indeed. RadarOnline.com posted about this on May 1st, just a couple days ago. And what happened was a whistleblower, the first one that went public with the claims that Spacey is actually a sexual predator, was mysteriously killed. Now, it says here that 59-year-old Kevin Spacey faces a felony charge of indecent assault and battery for allegedly groping a young man in 2016. But the allegations go further back, right? And this woman, Linda Culkin, I don't think of relation to Macaulay Culkin, is it? Wouldn't that be a twist? What if she was related to Macaulay Culkin from Home Alone? Which, isn't Kevin Spacey in Home Alone too? No, I think I got my movies. I think I have my movies messed up. My 90s dramedy movies messed up here. I think that was The Ref I'm thinking of. Because that happened during Christmas time too, I believe. Anyways, this woman, Linda Culkin, up in Massachusetts here, says on the obituary here, I'm reading it, she was crossing while the traffic light was green. The driver tried to avoid her and as a result hit another vehicle head on. No charges filed against the driver. But in doing so, she got hit by the car. The cause of death is still under investigation. It says Culkin was a nursing assistant who was reportedly obsessed with Spacey and had threatened to kill the actor, according to prosecutors. She sent bomb threats to two of Spacey's workplaces, also sent threats to his co-workers and associates. Radar Online claims that her threats to Spacey and his team began after one of Culkin's patients told her about allegedly being attacked by Spacey. And Culkin did a bid in prison there and I guess had a pretty seedy little past. But I think the argument here, the allegation forming, is that Kevin Spacey had something to do with this, which I don't know. I mean, given the history that's being alleged here of Linda Culkin, I'm not sure that Kevin Spacey would be funding someone to find her and hit her in a crosswalk while the light is green. That seems pretty elaborate. But hey, weirder stuff happens, right? So that is the latest on Kevin Spacey from Radar Online. More to come on that. Keep your eyes peeled on that. Now, on a recent episode, I talked about Mickey Rooney. Here's what happened, okay? I talked about Mickey Rooney and some allegations that surfaced about his improprieties with young boys and girls and such. And someone, Pharrell Serhey, hope I'm pronouncing your name right, Pharrell Serhey on Instagram corrected me. I was... Classic mistake here. I said something to the effect of how he was on, wasn't he on like 60 Minutes or something? I was thinking of Andy Rooney, not Mickey Rooney. Two completely different people, so I want to lay out that correction real quick. Now, let's talk about that Game of Thrones episode. What do you think? I know what I think. This is a spoiler alert, and I assume if you have not seen the Game of Thrones episode that aired, let me get you the date here. It was last Sunday, but I don't know when you're listening to this show. Sunday, April 28th. It was actually Greek Easter, by the way. Greek Orthodox Easter. And that, you know, I had quite the celebration. Me and Mrs. Weisab had quite the celebration at the house with all the good Greek Orthodox people. No, but we did have the Greek Easter celebration. But then that night, Game of Thrones time. I believe it's episode 3 of season 8. And I'm about to break it down. So if you are squeamish about this, fast forward until you stop hearing me talk about Game of Thrones. Now, what happened here? First, let me give you my quick little review of this show. Not that you wanted this opinion, but I'm going to give it to you. And then I'm going to tell you why this is connected to Aleister Crowley. That's right, Aleister Crowley again. Always goes back to Crowley. Let's first get into this here. I'm going to try to put my thoughts together properly here. Properly. Overall, I liked the episode. I thought they did a good job overall. I even liked how, particularly what I liked was how at the beginning the Dothraki go out there and, you know, within 10 seconds they're dead. We had 8 seasons over the course of, 10 years? Build up of these Dothraki warriors, and they died so quick that I was like, that I puckered up a little bit. I puckered up a little bit and said, oh dear, everyone's gonna die. We knew that, right? People are gonna die. So that was very effective. I, like everyone else, turned the back light up all the way on the TV, still couldn't see a damn thing. Very frustrating. And it bugged me, right? It bugged me. I've been paying my HBO subscription for many years. I love HBO. Those liberal Illuminati socialists at HBO, I do like their programming. But the thing that bothered me was for 8 seasons, 10 years, whatever it was, we kept, the whole show was like, you know, if you go back to the first season, it was all about this three-eyed raven, was very mystical and important to the storyline. These dragons, super important to the storyline. The Night Walkers, oh my God, it's the end of the real world as we know it. And everything else was built up to this. Everything. We didn't really see the dragons battle ever. We didn't see the Night Walkers battle, really. I mean, kind of in the last season for a little bit. We didn't really get to understand what the Three-Eyed Raven did. I mean, kind of. They kind of went into that a few seasons ago with the transfer of ownership there to Brandon. Bran? What's his name? Bran? The guy in the wheelchair, right? So it bothered me that they had all this buildup. They take 2 years off to, oh, we're filming the greatest fight scene of all time, and it's got to be so good. And then you can't see anything. For a second, we got to see the dragons in that beautiful shot they had up above the clouds and in the moon there. We got a second of that. That was kind of cool looking. No idea what's going on in the fight. No clue. Can't tell. I can't tell if dragons are living, dying, fighting, scratching. I can't tell. Nobody could tell. And then all of a sudden, they're just gone from the storyline. Just completely gone. Minus the Nightwalker dragon that played a pretty cool role. I liked Jon Stark's struggle to try to, you know, because he was supposed to be the hero this whole time. He was supposed to be the hero, but he wasn't. And I thought that was kind of cool. That was an interesting twist. I didn't expect that. In fact, I predicted that Jon Snow would die. He is the Christ figurehead on this show. He died and was resurrected. And now he has to transfigure out of this world into the other realm. That's what I predict will happen before the end of this series. I don't think he's taking the Iron Throne. I think he's going to mystically disappear into another realm. So it was kind of cool to see him struggle to try to get past that dragon. But I was disappointed with this fight scene. We had all this buildup. And granted, it was an hour of battle, and I'm not an action guy, so I don't need to see that much battle, but I wanted to see more supernatural elements here with the Night King and the Night Walkers and the dragons and the Three-Eyed Raven. I mean, those stories are all over? Like, they were done seasons ago? Is that what HBO is trying to tell me? So, in certain elements, I was disappointed. I thought the Arya, I thought her storyline was really cool. And, of course, you know what happened at the end of the episode there. Arya saved the day. And what was the message here? The message is this is a new age. It's the new age ushered in. Because before this, it was always worrisome about these Nightwalkers coming back to life and destroying the real world and all the humans. But when Arya took out the Night King, it ushered in the new age, the Aeon of Horus. Okay? Crowley's Aeon of Horus. It's the age of the crowned and conquering child. Sounds crazy, right? But think about it. There's all these elements of magical incantation, like with the lady in red there who summons the fire. She's the, what do they call it, the Lady of Light or something, which was like a Luciferian reference. On an article I wrote a few years back, I showed you the symbolism. They had the faith of the seventh star, and in the Great Hall, you see the pagan references here, in the realm of Game of Thrones, that is, there's these seven deities, three males, three females, and one that is depicted as death, but they say it's neither male nor female. It's sort of androgynous. It's sort of a reference to the Wiccan triple goddess, the faith of the seven star. But now if you look deeper, you can see Aleister Crowley's silver star sigil. Because, you know, he started all these little magical groups, and one of them was the AA, the Silver Star. And the Star of Babylon here can clearly be seen in Game of Thrones. So we knew way back then there was some kind of Crowley reference here. In fact, in the universe of Game of Thrones, there's a House of Crowley. And then also, of course, you've got Varys, that bald guy who looks just like Aleister Crowley. I mean, there's Crowley connections here to be had. So I'm not reaching out too far into left field with this idea. She ushers in the new age, the Aeon of Horus, the crowned and conquering child. She is the child, right? The warrior child, bringing it to fruition, fulfilling the prophecies. Britney Spears. Do you care about Britney anymore? I do. I like Britney Spears. I mean, I'm not like a big fan of all her albums or nothing, but like, she put out some good tracks. That song every time touches my heart when I hear it. I get a little sensitive about it. I only knew about that song because of Spring Breakers. The greatest movie of all time, Spring Breakers. Prove me wrong. No, yeah, it's actually, I love the movie. I love Spring Breakers. James Franco, even though he's Illuminate confirmed, he's a great actor. And Spring Breakers, and here's why I like it, because Spring Breakers is a film that most people, I would say, it's pretty universally hated. But I think it's because they don't quite get it. Okay? There's something that touches me about this film because, and here's why, I'll tell you why. Growing up on the East Coast there, I could identify with a lot of that culture. Back there, I grew up in PA, right? And you would do senior week. You would drive over to Ocean City, Maryland, crab cakes and football. That's what Maryland does, but they also do Spring Break there, which we call Senior Week. And, oh man, best time of my life. Oh, the stories I wish I could share with you. Pure debauchery. Pure insanity. it was a good time. You know, you're 18, carefree, no responsibilities. In fact, I split a room. Oh, I wish I could remember the name of it. It was called the Monticello, I think it was the name of the hotel. It was on the boardwalk there. Because back there, and for some of you that haven't been to the East Coast, they generally put boardwalks up, like a mile of boardwalks with a bunch of storefronts and bars and restaurants. And you just walk up and down the boardwalk all day mindlessly and enjoy the seagulls stealing people's food and bomb diving you and people drinking. And in Ocean City, it's the same way. And they don't really do that anywhere else. I mean, they've got boardwalks like in like Santa Monica, but it's not the East Coast boardwalks. I haven't seen an East Coast boardwalk anywhere else. I've lived down in, I was stationed down in the Panhandle of Florida. They didn't have that there. Beautiful beaches down there, but anyways. Let's get into it. I'm very sorry. We're going off the rails here, but I'm going to wrap this up real quick. The Ocean City, Maryland, for senior week, you'd walk up and down, you'd get drunk with your friends, maybe smoke a little bit of the reefer. I'm not implicating. I'm just saying that's what people do, right? And I remember a lot. There was people that would rent. There was also like buildings along the boardwalk that had people drinking on the patio, and like, you know, you're bonging beers and you're just having a good time. And I remember I was walking around. Me and my friends were walking around with these girls, and these older dudes. I mean, like I said, we're like 18, right? And these older dudes, I didn't think anything of it. They were, I would say, maybe late 30s, 40s. We're on the patio, and they're like, hey, guys, come up. We'll give you beer or whatever. And we didn't think anything of it. You know, we're just dumb kids. And we go up there, and they were trying to, like, spit game to these girls we were with. And looking back on it, I'm like, oh, my God, that makes me cringe. It's so creepy. But, like, that's, you know, that's the scene, right? There's a bit of grossness underneath all this fun, which is what Spring Breakers conveys perfectly. This director, I think, what's his name? Kim Harmony or something like that? Harmony Carmine? I don't remember his name. I think he did Kids also, didn't he? Again, capturing this weird juxtaposition of good and evil. I don't know how to explain it. It's very strange to me. Anyways, that's what Spring Breakers. James Franco does this rendition of Every Time. And I love the movie. Okay. I'm very sorry. I know everyone hates it, but it elicits a certain feeling. It invokes, what's the proper term? Invokes a feeling in there that captures that vibe. Now, Britney Spears, why were we talking about James Franco? We're gonna talk about, we're talking about Britney Spears. David LaChapelle, okay? He's this photographer, does really interesting photos. A lot of them are Illuminate confirmed, but he does music videos also. And I talked about this real briefly on Sam Tripoli's Tinfoil Hat. Did you listen to that show yet? I want you to listen to it. It was very entertaining to be on there. And I enjoyed it. Sam's a crazy guy. And man, I love that guy's energy. I mean, he's more in the Alex Jones camp. But like, I like those guys. You know, I'm not saying that that's my cup of tea per se, but they're very entertaining. So anyways, I was on his show and I briefly talked about this. So I wanted to go a little deeper with you, me and you, going deep. That's what it's all about. Going down to the bottom of the rabbit hole with a shovel. David LaChapelle went on to his... Okay, here's what happened. This guy on Instagram, this nobody pretty much, and that's where this gets fishy to me. He posted, apparently, this video of Britney Spears that was filmed years ago. And it was never authorized to be leaked. It immediately got taken down. But in the comments, David LaChapelle, the director of this, who somehow saw this, I mean, this guy's got like, I should pull it up. He's only got, his name is CD Dot Collector. I'm gonna pull it up. You got a live in studio research happening. But that's what you get on the Patreon feed. You get all the behind the scenes. CD Dot Collector. 1,500 followers. And he apparently talks about starting CD collections. Don't ask me. I don't know. In fact, you can see some of the screenshots. He's still got them up. For some reason, he posts this video, and David LaChapelle, for some reason, sees this, and he leaves a comment. And this is what he says. "This is some of my footage. This is not my edit. I find it very suspect that the video was leaked while Britney was away," with away in quotes, because he's referencing to her being forced into that mental institution for MKUltra programming, which she's apparently now out of. Whatever. LaChapelle wrote, "The video slash song wasn't released because Britney didn't like it. Her voice as an artist should be respected. The only direction Britney ever gave me for this video is for me to film her in a cage. At the time, I didn't understand, why would you want to be filmed in a cage? At first, I envisioned her to film her as a tigress, but she wanted to be filmed more timid, like a kitten. For everyone on my team, at least, we could tell something was off. The only direction Britney gave me for the video was that she wanted to die. She wanted to die in the video. I have known Britney since she was 17. I shot her first cover, Rolling Stone. It was shot in Louisiana at her family home, filled with her pageant trophies. I could tell, even back then, something wasn't right." You damn right something isn't right. And by the way, to bring this back to Spring Breakers, as if you weren't tired of hearing about Spring Breakers, that song, every time David LaChapelle filmed the video for that song. And what's in the video? Well, it's Britney Spears laying in a bathtub, bleeding from her head, wearing the red string Kabbalah bracelet. Isn't it crazy? Says that, and this is from the Wikipedia on that video, says she starts to drown in her bathtub after bleeding from a head wound. In the hospital, doctors failed to resuscitate her while simultaneously a child born in the next room, implying she has been reincarnated. The original concept had Spears kill herself from a drug overdose. Now, you know where we're going with this. You know where we're going. We're going to the bathtub for the crossing over of the goddess, the sacrifice, cleansing ritual, Whitney Houston, Bobby Christina, they're all doing it. They're all crossing over. Lorde posted about this on her feed. You could see this in Lucifer Rising, I believe is the movie, Kenneth Anger's movie about occult symbolism. You can read about it in Witchcraft, The Cleansing Ritual. It's pretty wild, but let's break that down a little bit. Let's break down what David LaChapelle said here. She wants to be filmed in the cage. There's claims that the cage represents the cages of the mind, the different altars established with the breakdown of mind control programming, MKUltra. Because the argument here is that these people are subjected to traumas. The traumas open up the portals of the mind. And the people that do these insidious acts then plant alter egos in these different fractures. The cage represents the different fractures inside of the mind. That's why, you know, Britney Spears came out with that weird British accent. She's triggering the different alter egos inside of the mind. They traumatize these people in the most horrific ways possible, allegedly, of course. But that's what all the, Fritz Springmeier, Kathy O'Brien. Kathy O'Brien said she personally went through this. Bryce Taylor, Thanks for the Memories book. I haven't read that one yet, but I read parts of it. That's where I got the Mickey Rooney talk from the last episode. And then also, when she talks about how she wanted to be more timid like a kitten, that's the sex kitten talk, which will segue into our final topic on the porn stars. by the way. More on that. That's just a fun little porn star thing we're going to talk about. Let's finish Brittany off real quick. She wanted to be filmed like a kitten. Of course, this takes us to the sex kitten programming, which we've seen so many times. Kathy O'Brien, in her book, details about how, you know, Ronald Reagan and stuff were doing this to her, saying, purr like a kitten for me. That was the trigger to activate the submissive kitten switch, the beta, a beta slave. It sounds nuts, right? I get that. I get it sounds nuts. But that's what these people are telling us in these books. And I find it curious how it almost comes to real fruition here. When Britney Spears is saying, no, these are the symbols I want to show in the video. And then I want to show that I want to die. What? What did this poor girl go through? Officially, the mainstream media is like, well, you know, this is just, she's got mental issues and you need to stop picking on her. And look, I'm not picking on her. I feel bad for her. I hope that she can fix this issue, whatever it is. I mean, everyone's got some level of mental instability. Look at me. But the Britney Spears is I don't know, man. Like, all these symbols suggest there's something more than just depression or anxiety. She was in the Mickey Mouse Club as a child. There's allegations that that's where it starts. Look at that film, An Open Secret. That's what they're saying. These kids go to Hollywood. They get traumatized. They're getting the BDSM stuff from young ages. And even worse, perhaps, David Chappelle talked about this whole thing of being witness to a murder in his Bird Revelation? Yeah. Which, by the way, if you haven't seen my video for that, it's a very good one. It went viral before they shut me down. And then it went viral again on my second newer YouTube channel. You can find the full video with the clips on my website, illuminatiwatcher.com. Go to the videos tab. You'll see it on there. That's the full video with the clips. No editing, no nothing, no nonsense, no banning, no censorship. Which is because of you. Thank you very much. I bought hosting for videos because of you at Patreon. What the hell? I think I just seen a wolf. Oh, no. It's a guy on a bike. Speaking of mental problems. Which, by the way, that's where we're going with the Alien book that's going to be coming out someday, somehow, some way, 6 to 12 months from now, 3 months from now. We'll see how my summer goes. We're going to talk about thoughts becoming beliefs, becoming reality. Finally, let's wrap this up. You got things to do. It's the freaking weekend. Let's get it on. Sun is shining. Another beautiful day. All glory goes to God. These atheists got it all wrong. They got it all wrong. A mysterious Big Bang happened. We don't know how that happened, but a Big Bang happened, and everything just happened to hit the right spots and the right time. And there's aliens out there. We just can't find them. We've only been looking for 50 years. They're out there. And look, I think the aliens are out there. I think they exist. I just don't think it's what the scientists think there are to be. I think they're interdimensional, not intergalactic, okay? I don't think all these people that see the UFOs and aliens are wrong. I think they're clearly something's happening. I just don't think that they're these evolved entities from another planet that are here to save us. I'm going to get into it in the book. It's a much deeper topic than I can give you on a podcast. Porn stars. There's a porn star, and she says, well, she's a Satanist, first off. Her name is Sabrina Sabrok. She's a former Playboy model who's now a Satanist. And she says she regularly has chats with the devil, and that her blood type is so rare that she believes she's been genetically engineered by aliens. No big deal. I guess her claim to fame is going under surgery 50 times to have the world's biggest butt. This is what you get on the Patreon feed. You get the streams of consciousness. That reminds me, I was listening to Joe Rogan. He had Adam Conover from Adam Ruins Everything on there. And I like both of these guys. They both have faults, though, in my opinion. And I would never do Joe Rogan's show, by the way. He's a smart guy. He's a smart guy. And I don't know that I'm quick-witted enough to hang with him. Not that he's going to invite me on a show, but I'm just saying. He was talking to Adam Conover from Adam Ruins Everything, who's kind of a shill. Adam Ruins Everything guy is kind of a shill. If you ever watched his episode on conspiracy theories, that's when I was like, oh, okay, all right, guy. But he does have interesting stuff, and most of his shows are pretty good. But they talked about, you know, Joe Rogan was pushing this idea that the evolutionary folks say, well, you know, men are attracted to women that have curves, you know, because it evokes this ancient DNA thing of you know, the childbearing hips and men want to procreate, and it's this urge that we all have, and that's why guys like big breasts and big butts. And Adam Conover didn't know how to reply to that, but in my head I thought, that's not true. Look at any 80s movie. The supposedly hot chicks were like these supermodel, rail thin, no butts. And then at some point they started having big boobs with no butts. Then that was the hot look. Then Sir Mix-a-Lot dropped his prophetic Baby Got Back in 89, 90, whatever year that was. And he even makes fun of like how white guys like thin butts. And the black guys like the big butts. And then it took another maybe 5 to 10 years for white mass culture to catch up. And now everyone likes big butts. And that's the history timeline of big butts. So, anyways, Joe Rogan was wrong. I think he's wrong. And because Adam Conover actually says something about, well, it's social. He alludes to the idea of social conditioning, but didn't quite know how to. Because, look, I get it, man. Joe Rogan's an intimidating guy. He's a modern-day Renaissance man. If a Renaissance man drank rock stars and had a bunch of bro tattoos. Now, listen. This porn star, she's a Satanist. She says she's got alien blood. Of course, why not? That's the growing narrative, is this. Yeah, I'm an alien now. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm going to identify. I'm an alien now. Kanye West did it, said he was the alien starseed. David Bowie did it. And I love David Bowie. Don't get me wrong. That damned occultist made some good music. And then this lady, she says, Sabrina Sabrok, she says that her Rh negative blood is proof of extraterrestrial life. And she says that she's worked with researchers who confirmed that she's not from this planet. And she supports this whole, you know, this ancient alien nonsense about aliens coming and evolving us by manipulating our DNA. And then she says, it always interested me. I believe that they are among us, although I've never been to outer space. Again, this supports this growing theory that I'm working with for my book. Thoughts become beliefs, become reality. They need to flood our minds with these thoughts of aliens. And then eventually it becomes beliefs when they give us these shows like Ancient Aliens, which have this sort of pseudoscience where it's kind of telling us some truth and some history, but then interspersing it with occult New Age doctrine. And then what's curious, I mean, it's a very interesting story here. It says, the actor is no stranger to the bizarre, and earlier this year started her own cult called the Sabrok Legion, which offers interested parties the chance to make pacts with the devil, Our Lady of Holy Death. Believers also get to learn how to cast love charms and speak with the dead. Isn't that something? She says, I was an atheist, but I started to do things with Our Lady of Holy Death, and it felt good. So I got into a cult and later had ideas of a satanic church. Then I set up the Sabrok Legion because voices told me to launch a black magic cult linked to Satanism and Saint Death. Which, again, you look at the obsession with death in our culture. Freeman, many moons ago, talked about this, the warrior princess programming. men in American culture here, we're supposed to be obsessed with death. It sounds weird, but it's totally true. I mean, and look, I'm not above it. I've got a tattoo of a skull on my arm. So, and look how many skulls you see in just in general. Why are we interested in this? I don't know. Mine's a military tattoo. That's my defense. Okay. But the, yeah, so like, she says, okay, let me comb through this here for you. Wrap this up. Everything I do is because I made a pact with him. She's talking about Satan. She said, I signed the Faustian bargain. She says that she started her legion to make it easier to do black things and to offer anyone who wants to change their life the chance to think in a different way, contrary to what society dictates. Says that the new occult mission has taken over her life and led her to renounce her own daughters and family members. So here you go. That's the end game for these satanic folks is antinomianism and breaking free from the social constructs and the social norms. This is what happens when that goes wrong. I get the idea of breaking from the social construct and having independent thought, but like, this is what happens when it goes too far. Okay, that's all I got. Thank you again for being on the Patreon feed. As always, stay woke.